Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
And a pleasant Friday morning to you and yours. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network. What has been a perfect week for the Lightning. 6 points were out there to get, and 6 points were procured. Good job, Lightning. 98 points in the standings. We are still in control of the Atlantic Division. 6 points clear of Boston. Boston does, however, still have 3 games in hand. Will they ever make up those 3 games in hand? So, the Lightning, we left you last. We're playing Philadelphia on a Saturday matinee at Amalie Arena, part of the homestand that's going on right now, facing the red-hot Florida Panthers, which we knew last week was going to be a really important game. That was on Tuesday. And then last night, again, I'm recording this Friday morning, but last night against the New York Rangers, that's a beaten team that sold off many of its big pieces. And the Lightning know that better than most, with Ryan McDonagh still yet to make his debut, but in the fold and on the roster. I'll jump around a little bit here in chronological order, because I think the game we want to talk about the most is certainly the Florida game. There's a couple reasons specifically why I believe that's the case. First of all, I got notification last night. Google Play is now on board for the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, so you can catch us on Google Play. iTunes was already there. They're pretty quick to respond and get you on an RSS feed. Or you could just continue to go to JoeBucksFan.com every week. We're going to post these podcasts Friday mornings, roughly, I don't know, mid-morning, 11 o'clock, noon, somewhere around there. But again, hope you guys had a good week. And here we go. Yesterday, it was the Rangers coming to town, who are a beaten team. They've won a couple of games of late, but that's because Henrik Lundqvist is a Hall of Famer and he stopped 50-plus shots twice. Unbelievable in the week leading up to our game. We peppered them just like they were getting peppered in Canada. There's no doubt about that. We chased Henry by the middle of the second period, couple of quick goals in the first period, and the shot disparity was incredible, the shot-on-goal disparity. You know, I don't always watch the game of hockey the way that a TV broadcast wants you to watch the game of hockey. You know, the shot boards on, the Fox Sports Sun graphic and NBC Sports and ESPN even back in the day, they tinker with whether or not they leave shots on the board full time. I don't always need to know how many shots each team has. It only gives you a portion of the picture. You know, if you were to flip to your newspaper for a box score, if anybody even does that anymore, or go to your favorite website the next day and take a look and see Team A outshot Team B 45-22. That's a crazy shot disparity, but in truth, it doesn't always tell you the full story of how the game was played. Scoring chances give you a good idea of who had a better of the play, who made the most of their time in the offensive zone. Time of possession is certainly a metric that teams look at with advanced analytics, but it's not something that's in your standard box score anymore. Time in the offensive zone, time of possession. These things matter more than shots do when you're trying to break down a game. You know, if you lose 3-2 and the shots are 36-30, well, it doesn't matter the shots were 36-30. Who had the better of the play? Who had more scoring chances? Who had more possession time? I say all that to say that there is a certain correlation. There is a definite correlation between shots and performance in the first period last night. You know, we're pushing 17, 20 shots, whatever the heck it is, before the Rangers register their first of the game. An absolutely smothering first period for the Bolts. That's the effort that you need to see as we approach winning time, as we approach the postseason. Every line last night, all 4 lines, constant pressure in the first period. Much of the second period too, but constant pressure, zone time, cycling, movement around the horn. I mean, this was a comprehensive domination the way a team like Tampa Bay should against a team like the Rangers. You know, again, the Rangers are going with a youth movement, and they were overwhelmed with Lightning's skill, experience, blend of both last night, and that's the way the game should look. Now, do the Bolts take it easy a little bit in the third period? Yes, they do. They get complacent again, and that's something that needs to be addressed before we get to winning time. Some of these careless defensive zone plays or Sergachev with a bad change in the third period last night. I mean, there's way, way, way too many examples of where we get careless. But the way this game was played from the get-go, I mean, we put the Rangers down. It did get a little close for comfort, but I'm not going to be terribly upset with a 5-3 win. Our first regulation win in a couple of weeks, by the way. So that's nice to see that we didn't have to play extra minutes. But the Lightning get the job done last night, 5-3. And again, it's a bit of a youth movement for the Lightning. Anthony Cirelli is making his case to stay on the roster. If not on the expanded roster for the postseason, maybe a regular place as a role player in a 7-game series. He's a smart player. Number 71, he's a rookie. If you've been out of the loop for the last week and a half, watch Anthony Cirelli play next time you turn on the Bolts. Again, number 71, he's a center who has a knack for getting into the passing lanes. He has a knack for being around the puck in general, and he can make smart plays, high-percentage plays, and also he can put some people in position to score. Last night, he picked off a Henrik Lundqvist bid behind the net to get the puck cycled around. Finds Tyler Johnson, easy goal. He scores a goal of his own on a nice heads-up deflection on a shot by Sergachev from the point. He's a good player. He's not a liability for the, 8-12 minutes that you're going to give him a night. You just don't want your fourth-line players to be risks, guys who take penalties in the offensive zone, guys who can't hold their own marking in the defensive zone. Cirelli was already on the penalty kill last night for a couple of big faceoffs, and again, he understands to play the simple game. You know, his role is not to be Mr. Dazzling Highlight like a Nikita Kucherov is, like a Braden Point has been for the past 2 weeks. Your role is to play the simple game. To keep the puck out of our own defensive zone if you can, cycle with a guy like Adam Ernie, who I really like too, and just get to the bench after a short shift and let the big boys take care of what they need to take care of. But he's making a bid, and that's good. Make the decisions tough for the coaching staff heading to the postseason. Make these choices about who we're going to keep up and who we're going to send down really difficult. Cirelli is doing that. And to that point, John Cooper last night understood too that the Rangers are a team where you might be able to get some role players some more minutes. To that end, Braden Coburn sat, Andre Schuster sat, and in went Slater Cuckoo and Jake Dodgson, your third pair on defense. So what happened last night? The Lightning's role players got it done. What happened on Saturday, a week ago, when the Lightning played the Flyers? Well, good Lord, if you have an official score sheet, you needed a second page. The Bolts win 7-6. That's a shootout final for the Lightning. It was part of their run of play in 6 consecutive games past regulation, but we get the 2 points as we did in all the other games, which was good. All but one, I should say. But Steven Stamkos came to play. Nikita Kucherov came to play. Victor Hedman came to play. It was a stars afternoon in Tampa Bay. And I got to tell you, I'm not worried at all about the fact that we gave up 6 to the Philadelphia Flyers. We could talk about Andre Vasilevsky and rest, and I think Joe Smith did a wonderful job looking at, Andre's first season of being the number one goalie in Tampa, pushing 60 games in the regular season. Hopefully he's playing closer to 75, 80 games when you're talking about a postseason run. But how he's dealing with being the alpha for the first time on an NHL ice and an NHL rink. He asked Henrik Lundqvist about it. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But as for last week, in that particular game, think about it this way. Monday evening, you play Toronto. Wednesday, you play Buffalo. Thursday, you have to get in a flight. It's a back-to-back, but you have to go to a different city and play Dallas. Then Saturday, you have a matinee against the Flyers. So in 4-plus days, not 5 days, you have to play 4 games. That's brutal. Not to mention that Philly's back-to-back would have been in Sunrise on Sunday. So they're playing fresh on Saturday. And they're red hot at the time. Basically, they're fresher than you are. So I don't care how you win that game. Just get the 2 points. There are going to be some games where it matters how you play on the way to a win. This one against Philadelphia on Saturday was not one of those. It's about just get it done by hook or crook. And the Bolts did. Braden Point again seals the deal. He puts you up 1-0 in the shootout, and Stamkos finishes the job. But in regulation time, it was the top line being the best line, and it was great to see Nikita Kucherov finally get back into the lineup after a couple of games off, and he's played ever since. The Panthers game is now a really interesting one because it gives you a window into what you're going to see in the postseason. And I'm not necessarily talking about the fact that if the season had ended at that point, the Lightning and Panthers would be playing a best of seven in the first round. I'm talking about the style of play. And we could touch on that a little bit after the break. Once again, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. You can get it now on iTunes and on Google Play. Next segment, we're going to talk about the Panthers game and why it got me really, really excited about what's to come. We'll touch on Ryan McDonough's health and what's the update on when is this freaking top four defenseman we acquired actually going to play in a Bolts uniform. Hint, it's going to be next week. And then also, obviously, we'll talk about Andre Vasilevsky and the story that Joe Smith wrote this week in the Tampa Bay Times. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We'll be right back after this.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Welcome back. Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, available on iTunes, Google Play, and every week at JoeBucksFan.com. Before the break, we were going to break down the Panthers game and what we saw on Tuesday night at Amalie Arena. And this was a game, to me, that was worth circling and remembering moving forward because a couple of elements of it reminded me of playoff runs past. And here's what I mean. Okay, for the first 48 minutes of this game, we're playing okay. It's kind of a continuation of the sloppy effort you saw against Philadelphia, and this one is less excusable because the schedule gives you enough time to get ready for this game. Florida's playing well. We're playing okay. I think Florida had the better of the play, certainly in the second period. You walk away after 40 minutes up 4-2, and that's about the best the score should have been. Florida is playing like a team that is in the position they are, desperate for a playoff berth. The games in hand situation they have is favorable. They control their path to the playoffs right now with, 16, 18 games left, whatever it is for them. And they played like a team that you saw in the box scores heading up to our matchup, a team that's red hot, a team that understands the magnitude of the moment. We didn't handle it all that well for the first two periods plus. Of course, we cashed in on our chances, but that doesn't mean that you're outplaying the team by any stretch. So when they tie it up in the third period and Bjugstad completes his hat trick and then you have a power play goal, which is a soft goal, by the way. That's something that Vasilevsky sees all the way. But they score their power play goal and the game's 4-4 in the third. You think, well, this is looking more like the score should look. Given the standard that we should hold ourselves to, if nothing else, we're not playing up to the level we should be playing. But then something really, really cool happened. Playoff hockey. And a sneak preview of playoff hockey, advanced admission, for about 8 to 9 minutes in that third period. If you have the ability to go back and watch, if you didn't see it. Again, it's about 11 minutes to go, somewhere in there, till about 2 minutes to go. You saw both teams play at a level with desperation that is commensurate to playoff hockey, Stanley Cup playoff hockey. And what I mean by that is tight checking. There's not an inch on the ice that you don't earn. All the way up and down the ice. To get out of your zone is laborious. To get across the red line and into the offensive zone, it's even tougher. To be able to cycle it and generate a high percentage chance, nearly impossible. That's what we all know and love as hockey fans about playoff style. Anybody who's a diehard will tell you it's one of the great sports on earth, if not the best sport to watch. But to see the Stanley Cup playoffs is to see something different altogether. It just is to be embraced. It's to be adored. And you got a little bit of that. And that's why I love this portion of the year, because sometimes you catch teams that, again, over the course of 82, they may be 15, 20 points worse than you, but they have the desperation of a team that it's almost like their last night and it's their last chance to make a mark. So we had to elevate our game. And the Lightning answered the bell. That's why I get excited. Without Andre Palat, without Ryan McDonough, we answered the bell in that moment, shift for shift. We gave up one high percentage chance in the slot, and then we hit a post. Schuster from the point with Ernie in front of the net. But this was a sequence where, okay, are we ready for this level of test, or is Florida going to continue this? You know, they came back from two goal deficits twice. Are they going to continue this, come back and finish the job because they don't know how to lose right now? No, we answered it. And with the last 2 minutes of the game being what they were, we almost took the game back and walked away with a regulation victory. I don't know how Yanni Gourde got stopped in the final 2 minutes, I think it was. Luongo's on his back, and somehow the puck doesn't go in for us. But Florida, with about 2 minutes to go, understood the magnitude of the point that they had in hand. They weren't going to take any crazy chances. They flipped back from playoff desperation mode to, let's be pragmatic about this. We need this point. We're not going to hawk down Tampa Bay for a division title. I don't even know if that's mathematically possible anymore for the Panthers, but they understood that every point was precious and it was time to get that point, and let's worry about point number two in overtime. So Florida dialed it back a little bit, and we returned to a regular season style game. But then you get, you know, the encore, the overtime, and one of the dirtiest goals. I mean, there's nothing you can do but laugh and shake your head in awe at what Braden Point pulled off in overtime. A toe drag around Florida's defenseman, and then an absolute top-shelf beauty of a shot over Luongo. Roberto's got no chance to stop that. And I won't mention the Florida Panthers defenseman's name, because I'm sure he got roasted enough on social media and even in the dressing room. But Braden Point is just a player to embrace. At his age, what he's done, especially the last few weeks, being the hero in the shootout or overtime. I think it's, is it five game winning goals the last couple of weeks? It may be three plus shootout winners. But he's been such a, like I said last week, an invaluable piece to the puzzle this year, on the way towards whatever it is we're going to finish with, hopefully a division title, but if the President's Trophy, that too. Braden Point, Yanni Gourde, those are two young players that 2 years ago you wouldn't even know of unless you were following Bull Prospects on Twitter. These are guys that are now mainstays in the lineup. And watching them play with JT Miller is a lot of fun. I know we talked about those guys a lot last week, but JT Miller, Yanni Gourde, Braden Point, that looks like a match made in heaven. That's a line that can translate to playoff-style hockey. They've got enough grit to them to win you pucks off the boards and play the simple game, the uglier game that you're going to have to play next month. We'll see if the chemistry sticks for the next, you know, 15 games. If we mix and match, you might not find a better pairing or trio. But really, that is a group that's a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully they're together in the first, second round of the playoffs, and they can make some mayhem happen and give the other team fits. But again, the Lightning 6 points this week were available. They got all six of them. Boston keeps pace. Thankfully, this weekend and into next week, Boston's going to finally spend a couple of those games in hand that they have. It seems like they've had a holdover on the Lightning all season long. The Bruins will be playing an extra game at the end of the season for a weather cancellation earlier this year. So they will always have a game in hand on the Lightning. But this three games in hand nonsense is just really annoying. The Bruins walk away with a last-minute victory over Philadelphia last night. They catch the Flyers on the second of a back-to-back. Brutal schedule for the Flyers of late. Not that this is Philadelphia radio, but they have to play Tampa, Florida back-to-back. Then they get Pittsburgh and Boston back-to-back. And so the Bruins take advantage, and Marchand scores with under a minute to go last night, so they keep pace. They're 6 points back with three games in hand. But Boston this weekend plays back-to-back matinees, a home-and-home with Chicago. Kind of odd, but Saturday, Sunday, they'll play matinees at home and then at Chicago. The upcoming week, they play Carolina on Tuesday and the Panthers on Thursday before meeting up with the Bolts on Saturday. The Lightning, on the other hand, we get a bit of a rest. We play a matinee Saturday afternoon against Montreal. Jonathan Drouin comes back to town. Does Mikhail Sergachev still have more points than Jonathan Drouin? I should check on that. Yeah, I think he may. Then we play Ottawa on Tuesday, followed by Boston on Saturday. So again, Boston's going to spend two of those games in hand. We'll have a much clearer picture of what the playoff situation is like in the race for the Atlantic Division this time next week. Before we sign off, I do want to talk about the piece that Joe Smith put together on it's TampaBay.com/Lightning, but it's a story on Andre Vasilevsky being the number one goalie in Tampa Bay and approaching the 60 games played plateau. Congrats to Vassy last night for earning his 40th win, which ties the franchise record. He's going to pass Ben Bishop by then, some, as long as he doesn't suffer some sort of freak injury between now and then. But he's pushing to a place he's never gone before at this level. And Smith rightly, you know, recounts how Ben Bishop had to go through this particular process with the Lightning, how now Andre Vasilevsky is going through the process, and juxtaposing the physical toll it takes to play 65 regular season games with the mental toll it takes. Make no mistake, this is uncharted territory for Andre Vasilevsky, and it's a territory where he's not playing as well as he did, point blank. First half of the season, he was the MVP of the team, and he might have been close to the MVP of the league with how well he was playing. Covered up a lot of our mistakes. You know, you'd see 1 and 2 goals against the game, but if you watched the flow of it, you knew that Vassy was huge in those moments. He's not following the puck quite as sharply right now as he was then, so he's going to have to push through this process, get a little bit of rest too, a little bit of help from the coaching staff. Next week should provide that with off days between the Tuesday and the Saturday game. But this is, again, when you're trying to make a run at something, you do have a bit of an unknown here. Hopefully Andre reaches a point where he feels mentally as sharp as he did to begin the year. Hopefully he tracks the puck better. But it's really easy to see when Vasilevsky is playing at the top of his game. And it's when he tracks the puck and squares up to the puck. Side to side, you can tell in his movements in the crease. You don't always have to watch and follow the puck as it moves around the zone on television or in the rink at Amalie Arena. You can follow the goalie too, and you could see it right off the bat when he was first called up to back up Ben Bishop. Man, this guy's lateral movements, his ability to square up to the puck no matter how quickly it's moving around the zone, is elite. In his early 20s, it's world class. When he's not pushing off to his left, to his right, and squaring up to the shooters as quickly, when he doesn't see the puck and you see him bobbing his head around trying to find it, that's not typical for Andre. He has an ability, it's like Superman. He can see through people. He has X-ray vision to find the puck. So right now, he's going through a bit of a lull in his game. We're still winning. We're 8-0-1 in our last 9, even with him not playing his best. But Andre's got to take his game to another level for us to be able to be considered, you know, true favorites in the East and true favorites to win the whole thing. We'll see in the next month how that works out. But Smith did a great job. I encourage you to go take a look at TampaBay.com and find this article in the Tampa Bay Times. He asked Henrik Lundqvist about what it's like to go through that, because King Henrik has played 60 or more games 8 times in his career. They talked to the coaching staff about physical fatigue versus mental fatigue. But there's no doubt at the end of the day that this homestand the Lightning is on is going to afford Andre a few more opportunities to sit, rest, and get ready for the postseason. In fact, if the Lightning, in the next couple of weeks, can push a little bit more pressure on the Bruins, well, you might be in a position where you're able to rest a lot of players. It's just Boston keeps winning, and it's about winning this division and not facing Toronto and Boston potentially back-to-back in 2 series. You've got to win the Atlantic. And if Vasilevsky gets you there, that's what you need to do. He's got to get you there. So again, the upcoming schedule for the Bolts, it's a Saturday matinee against Montreal, Tuesday night against Ottawa, and then Saturday next week on St. Patrick's Day, we're playing the Bruins. It's the first of 3 matchups with Boston before the regular season is out. Ryan McDonough should be available next week, either Tuesday or Saturday. If they don't have a definitive plan, or we haven't seen McDonough or both this time next week, then I'll get worried. For now, we're 8-0-1, like I said earlier, in our last 9. We're winning. Let this guy get up to 100% so he doesn't have a lingering issue into the playoffs. We'll see what happens in the upcoming week. Hopefully the Lightning puts some more distance between themselves and the Bruins before we face off next weekend. But either way, we'll be back right here on JoeBucksFan.com. Also, again, available on iTunes and Google Play. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. My name is Tom Lang, and we'll talk to you next week.